Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Salon Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salon Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watch Beneath, and here's my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here!
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, aka Jazz Binks.
Jazz Binks? Wait, did I miss something?
Oh, did you? Did you not realize? At the end credit, who was there?
I didn't actually see the end credits. I just watched the whole thing right now, and I didn't finish the credits.
Jazz, there was a special guest on the show today. But before we talk about the special guest on the show, let's talk about the special guest on our show. What? Welcome, Ryan. What's up? Woo. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you guys.
No problem. Ryan is a buddy of ours on Twitter, and he's also part of the Agents of Fandom. We're trying to collect them all like Pokemon, having every single one of them on our show.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, people in the comments already. Oh, Carlos is giving us a Ramadan Mubarak. Thank you, nice. Brother Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos. Yes,
today is the first night of Ramadan, so tomorrow we will be fasting, so that'll be really cool. Yeah, I guess we got to keep it clean now, Jazz. we got to be on our best behavior. Oh, we got Adam in there. Hi, Adam. What's going on? Hi. Listen, Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself, like, other than the fact that you're part of this amazing organization called Agents of Fandom.
Oh, man. Where do I even begin? I'm fellow nerd, fellow person in the fandom of all geek culture. You know, I'm a fan of Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and all other things. Like, I mean, recently, biggest passion is, you know, the Creed franchise with Creed 3.
Oh, nice.
Just came out. Like, yeah. That movie just meant a lot to me because I had no connection to, like, the Rocky franchise. It wasn't until Ryan Coogler's Creed back in, like, 2015 where I really jumped in. And then that one kind of just, like, really, like, hit me in a way. And I was like, that's, like, the best way to do, like, a new legacy while still continuing a franchise. And that's just one thing outside of, like, the traditional geekdom that I'm, like, really passionate about. But yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to interact with people online and find this, like, positive community, which is so rare nowadays.
Wow. That's very cool. Actually, we have not done our Creed episode yet. So maybe we might bring you back on for that. What do you think, Jazz?
I'm down. I actually saw Creed this weekend. So,
that sounds perfect. I know you're a big anime fan. There was a lot of anime inspiration for Creed, so I can't wait for you guys to talk about that.
It was straight up anime. I can't even deny it. So I know Ryan's like, oh yeah, it's different. It's not typical nerd stuff. Like, no, bro. It was typical nerd stuff.
I mean, and that's what you expect from, like, Michael B. Jordan, such a big anime fan. Like, you knew him.
For the him, biggest weeb.
Exactly. And, like, if he's going to be behind the camera, you know he's going to implement all of that.
For sure. Now, that was really cool. Maybe we'll have you back for that. The also thing that we have to do is we have to do Shazam. Shazam is another thing that we got to do soon. And then I believe we're going to go into Love is Blind next week also for our reality TV special. So all of you guys, keep in touch for that. We're going to be going strong through Ramadan. We're going to keep it a little bit more PG, but we'll still be here.
Yeah, are we gonna do John Wick or is that too violent?
Oh, we're done for John Wick. I forgot about that. Is it out yet? Because I already watched it. I got an early screening.
I think it's coming out this week. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Steve Jazz, if you were here, I could have took you to my early screenings, but no, you're all the way in Texas. Well, no speaking comment. Of being all the way in Texas, let's talk about a story a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
That, well played, well played.
You know my transitions, you gotta love them. Listen, Mando is out here, and you see a bunch of Mandalorians just out there training, doing submission moves and like sword fighting and wrestling moves. I was like, very cool, very cool. And then Grogu's just out here kicking rocks and just playing with rocks. That turned out to be not even rocks. They were like freaking crabs. They were crabs. I was like, oh no, Grogu's got crabs. not in that way, but still.
Keeping it PG God already.
Damn it, Neebs.
Well, that's not what I meant. All right. But Mando, Din Djarin is like, you know what? Grogu, you got to learn. You're going to learn today. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn today. Let's go. So he takes one of the younglings and he goes, all right, I want Grogu to battle. And first thing he says is, why doesn't he wear the helmet? He goes, he's too young to speak the creed. And he can't speak, even though he's 50 years old. He's still a toddler. He's still a toddler. What can we say? But he says, one does not speak unless one knows. And I love that line because when that little kid was talking to Mac, he was like, listen, one does not speak unless one knows. So if you don't know what you're talking about, what are your thoughts on that, Ryan?
Oh man, I mean, first off, like, it's just hilarious that like Din Djarin's just like, yeah, you know what? Let's just put you up against someone already. Like, we haven't really seen him really fight someone besides like using the Force, but just for Din Djarin to be like, yeah, you're ready for some reason. Like, it's like you know, someone brought it up in the Agents of Fandom stream about this, where it's like a sports dad, where it's like, you know what, we're just gonna put you into the things I like, we're gonna let you try it out, we're gonna throw you in the deep end basically, and you just go for it, whatever happens, it's a learning process. And
he's like a soccer dad.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is straight up football, like American football dad, right? It's like, oh, here's some pads. Go fight on the field. Just go.
Grogu walks like a little kid in football pads, just like wobbling down the field in football.
Yeah,
that may have been me in middle school.
Yeah. No. And also, like, Bo-Katan puts on the little bracelet, and she's like, it's okay. He's just proud of you. She was so sweet to him. It was really like a mom and dad kind of thing. I really liked it.
Yeah, and it's just funny where Grogu just, like, puts his arm out, like, yeah, put it on. He's just like...
Oh, he's so cute. I hate it. I hate how cute he is. It's amazing.
I got from that was that Grogu was like, are you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure this kid is ready to face me? Are you okay? Like, that's the feeling I got when I kept looking back at him. I'm like, oh, he's about to kick ass, and he knows exactly what's about to happen. And then everyone else is like, oh, let's see what happens. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
That's exactly what I feel like, too. That's really funny. And then the guy hits him with the two things right in the chest. And then he's like, all right, man, stop playing. Let's do this thing. And then, boom, dude does a bunch of jumps, gymnastics, shoots him 3 shots in a row. Grogu wins. I'm like, oh, snap. Grogu takes the W. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think Grogu was going to win, or did you think that he was going to take the L?
Bro, no question. Like, we knew he was going to win when he kept looking back like, is it okay if I go all out?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was like thinking when the kid was doing just one shot at a time, and then Grogu just does all three. I'm like, wait, why didn't that kid just like, you know, like I guess like he's just trying to give mercy to Grogu. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, you kind of let him have that.
Yeah, but does that mean when Grogu gets to speak, we're gonna see a Grogu helmet? Because that's gonna be exciting. That's gonna be wild.
Bro, I think that's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah, he's a foundling, right? So by definition, the moment he starts talking, if he can say the creed, he has to wear the helmet.
That's going to be so dope. I hope they make like a dope-looking
The dope comments are going wild, man.
Ryan, yeah, like, they love Ryan. This.
Oh, yeah, that's just the agent. That's just the Agents of Fandom Army. Like,
oh, Fandom Army.
We love Ryan. Them. Adam's like, Grogu was not gonna get packed up. Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. All right, so this little kid is a little salty, so he kind of like walks over to like the river and, you know, kicking rocks, not crabs but actual rocks. Yeah. And then a fucking pterodactyl picks him up and takes him away. Like, what the hell?
Honestly, like, first episode it was like a fucking, it was a freaking crocodile, and then now it's like a pterodactyl. It's like, you guys are living on Jurassic World right now. The amount of times like these just animals are just coming out of nowhere and interrupting them, I'm like, it's crazy.
I'm like, where are they? The Savage Land is like the X-Men is just like, where are they going here? Oh man. So like they all go after him with jetpacks. But Bo-Katan is the only smart one to be like, let me get into an actual plane and follow the thing. And they're all going like, bloop, 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 bloop. You see them like puttering and they're like jetpack stop. And they're in the middle of nowhere. Bo-Katan's going to be like, I got to pick these motherfuckers up on the way back, don't I? Yeah. Oh, man. And then like she's smart enough and has enough foresight, even though she hasn't seen this animal, to be high enough where it doesn't track it. She puts the coordinations down so they can come back to it later, and then they go back and then put in a search party, which I thought was really smart. Bo-Katan is really putting out like, I am a leader, I know what to do, I get shit done. She is legit. She is not somebody who just stands around and waits for orders. She acts, which I thought was really, really cool. What did you guys think about Bo-Katan's actions, Ryan?
Honestly, like Carlos, one of our agents of fandom, kind of brought this up, where it's like, so the plot of this was this: the bird takes the kid away, Bo-Katan follows the bird, then goes back, tells them where the bird is, even though she knows where it is, brings them all back, and it's like, it's just a lot of back and forth. But like, I think you bring up a good point where it's like, it's smart because she doesn't know what this animal can do. Like, if she just goes in head first with the ship, like, who knows what's going to happen to that kid? And who knows what other creatures are out there? If that bird is alone, if it has its own family, like an actual army of birds. So I think like it was a smart decision on her to like, okay, let me reassess this. Let me bring back people. Let me tell them the plan, what we can do. And, but yeah, like, she's definitely taking charge. She's not even asking for permission. She's like, this is.
Yeah. I love that. And I also feel off of like, yeah, this happens.
Like, yeah.
I was like, what? Like, it happened before. What can we do? Oh my God, the mountain's too high. Bo-Katan's like, yo, I used to climb that all the time. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like this. On. Yeah, like we lost kids before. It's like, this has happened and you have like no pre-measures to anything.
No plan.
Nope. It's happened before. We have nothing planned for this. We're just going to be, you know, Ash versus all the Spearows from Pokemon every time this happens. Like, it's going to walk right in to an army of this stuff and just let it happen.
Yeah. Oh, just like you said, man. It's a Bo-Katan takeover Israel army. Mm-hmm. Zen. Yep, exactly. And someone said that bird was flying too fast. Not going to lie. It was a fast bird. Oh,
SR-71 levels of flight.
It was like a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, like pterodactyl.
Oh yeah, it's a Megazord.
Oh man, that was really, really funny. All right, so the search party goes with Bo-Katan, and then the armor is like, "Come on, little Grogu, you have much to learn." And then Grogu just like waddles into the cave, and then she starts like armoring stuff, and he sees these sparks, and these sparks happen to jog a memory. I don't know if he jogged a memory right then and there, or maybe all his memory came back when Luke worked with him. Maybe a little bit of both, right? But he sees Order 66. And we get to see what happens to Grogu during Order 66. And then, Jazz. I don't know if you noticed, but Kelleron Beck was Ahmed Best.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Jar Jar Binks.
The thing in my mind connected now. Moment I started thinking about his name, like, oh, right. That was Jar Jar. Yep.
Dude, my heart just like bursted. Cause like, this is somebody who, for those of you that don't know, somebody who was bullied by the toxic fandom to the point of suicide. That is wild. The way the fandom treated him was terrible, terrible. And he did the best job he could with that character. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of Jar Jar Binks, but he did a great job of doing what Lucas' vision was, right? Told him to do this. He brought in drunken style martial arts into it, all this cool stuff. Also, shout out to my friend Reebs. Reebs is the biggest Jar Jar Binks fan, and she was like crying. She's like, redemption, we will have our day. She's like, she thinks that Kelleron Beck actually took Grogu to the Jar Jar Binks and his people, because the ship that came was actually Naboo. It was a Naboo ship. So I think that's a pretty good theory. I really like
tracks.
Yeah. And I loved the sequence, the getaway, the lightsaber, the dual lightsaber battles. I believe Ahmed Best was also this character in a game show once. And I think that's where you first see this character. And it's just so cool to see the folk lore and of all this stuff of Star Wars coming together. And no one deserved it. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I love Ahmed Best. He is actually from the next town next door. He is from Maplewood, New Jersey. So I'm from Newark. The next town over is Maplewood. And because we would get beat up playing in Newark by gangs, we would actually like walk like 3 miles to Maplewood and play there, because that's where like the white people were. So we like we felt safer. So he's like basically in the next town over. I gotta say, Columbia High School is where he went. So I'm really glad. I'm really happy. What are your thoughts about Ahmed Best coming back and him being the one who saved Grogu? Ryan?
Oh man. I mean, like, again, you like perfectly captured like the redemption of it all. And you know, it sucks that, like, I mean, the fandom now is very toxic too, but like back then, like to bring a person to that point in their life, and for, again, he was doing what the part asked him to do, like, and you know, he didn't realize like how badly received that role would be. Like, you're back then, you're like, I'm gonna be in a Star Wars movie. Yeah. And that you had like the original trilogy back then, and you were going to be in this new iteration, you know, welcoming back new fans and grabbing new fans, and like that's not on him. Like, that's not, he was just doing the role, and like it wasn't like a terrible role. Like, it still adds to the story in a way, but like, again, you can trust Dave Filoni for sure, like to redeem these kind of moments and like right. give and deliver on like such heartfelt moments that are meta, but also like impact the story too, because now like Kellerman will always be known as the guy who saved Grogu.
That's amazing.
No also, better honor than saving Grogu.
Also, here's my question: how toxic does a fandom have to be to bully a person before social media? Like, what they do, they wrote him letters. Like, motherfucker sat down and like, dear Slim, I hate you. Like, fan letter. And like, and then they bought a stamp, they licked that shit, put it in the mail, and sent him death
threats. They spent like, 50 cents on this. It wasn't even free.
Listen, back in my day, when we hated money. Somebody. We really hated somebody. Like, what the hell?
No, that's wild. That? Yeah,
it was wild, man. Yeah. I can't.
Let's go to the comments real quick. My God, everyone kind of agrees. Nothing but love for Ahmed Best. You know, we got TJ.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the comments, he was on last week, saying Ryan's so cute.
This guy.
People are a big fan of New Jersey, apparently.
Oh, let's go, Jersey. Yeah,
whatever.
Just because she broke your heart, Jazz, doesn't mean nothing.
Oh, my God. Every time.
Jazz is always sour on Jersey. Oh, my God. All right, listen. Then Grogu comes back from his flashback, and he gets this crest. He gets this little crest, and she's like, "Ah, you'll grow into it." So, like, I'm like, "Oh shit, is Grogu gonna get big?" I didn't know. I never thought about that. I mean, obviously he's gonna get bigger, but like, how big is he gonna get? Is he gonna get to Yoda's side? Could he be bigger than Yoda? Like, I never thought about Grogu getting bigger. What about you guys?
I mean, no, go Jazz, yeah. So Yoda was that size, but like, I want to say maybe twice as big. Yeah. So seeing that sigil and him growing into it actually tracks. Like, that makes perfect sense to me.
I want my baby Yoda to stay baby, man. I want it to stay small. I'm like a mom. I'm like, please don't grow.
Honestly, with the way that species ages, like, I don't think we're gonna see that for a long time. Like,
yeah, like a couple 50. Hundred years.
He's 50. Like, she just prepared him for, like, I don't know, the next like century or whatever for him to grow into that. Like, that, it's gonna be a while.
That's true. He's gonna be 400 when he puts that on or fits into it.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that's so funny. All right, cool. So now let's go back to the search party. So the search party is out there and they're camping, and she's like, Bo-Katan's like, so how do we eat with this? Which he was like, you don't. You have to go and be far away and you eat alone. And I'm like, oh shit, Mandalorians always eat alone. That's kind of sad to me. That made me sad. But you know, part of their culture, whatever. That's honor.
In fact, if you're the party leader, it's an honor, and you can stay by the fire.
You can stay by the fire, and she got to stay by the fire. Was it Paz Vizsla who said that to her?
Yes.
That means something for Paz Vizsla to say that. He's like, and you find out why. You find out why a little bit later, which I thought was really, really cool. So here's the thing. Bo is observing the rule. She was like watching all these people. She doesn't walk the way, but she's been like, all right, let me humor them for now. But it's gotten to the point where I think the creed is growing on her. She's like, it still hasn't taken it off. She's still been doing it. I don't know if she's going to be like that way forever. I don't know what happens. What are your thoughts? Ryan, you want to go first?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, we from Clone Wars to her little group at in season two of The Mandalorian, like, she's kind of her community kind of just died down a little bit, like, as reduced in numbers. I think, like, she's just looking for that sense of camaraderie, and like, she's found out now with the watch, and like, you know, although she doesn't like 100% believe in everything they do, I think it's interesting that she's willing to learn about it. Like, she's not having this closed mind to their ways.
Yeah, she's open to it.
Yeah, so I like that we're getting to see that growth without her having to say it out loud, which is something like cleverly done throughout this episode, is that it's like, even though she has a helmet on, or even when she takes off for that brief moment, like, we see the thoughts going on in her head just through her facial.
She's such a good actress.
Yeah. She's got the head. I know what she really wanted to do was take the helmet off and fit like this on her throne, and like she always does. Right. Oh, Mando's coming. Hold on. Let me get on my throne. Like, she always does that. All right, let's go to the comment. We got some good comments here.
Yes, we do. TJ is going to break my heart. That is correct, TJ. Right. Thank you.
Oh, we got Emma here too. Emma, don't forget to stay for our Bachelor content. It's going to be wild.
Yes, Emma's in the comments. She misses us. We'll be doing the Bachelor stuff right after this episode, because the Bachelor was two episodes this week. So
Jazz, that was my fault. I thought the Bachelor was two episodes this week. It was actually one episode, so I scheduled it by mistake for Wednesday. That was on me. That's my bad.
Whatever.
It's all good. All right. I like this comment by Carlos. He goes, Yoda with a minute ball of his face.
Yep. That was so good.
Yo, Carlos, you wild.
We gotta bring him on after Ramadan, because I don't want to hold back. If Carlos is gonna be here, we gotta go all out. So we gotta bring him in like April, May, okay?
Fun fact, I actually asked Carlos to come on our show too, and he said his wife broke his laptop.
He's living the life. Man's got it made.
Oh man.
TJ's asking, how old was Yoda in his prime? Okay, so they age differently, right? The best way I think of it is, like, scale it 10x human life, right? So Yoda would be in his, like, absolute prime, probably, like, you know, 250 years old to, like, 600 years old, and then he starts slowing down up until about, you know, the age of 900, or for humans it'd be 90, when he just passes away. So... it's like, just think of them as living 10 times longer than us.
That makes sense. I can understand that. That makes sense. We got Carlos here, like, eat between scenes. That's really what they do. I've only seen the Mandalorian eat once, and that's when that hot girl wanted to marry him back in season one.
No one can blame him. Yeah, no one can blame him.
All right. Yeah. We haven't gotten to that part yet, so let's go into they're climbing the nest, and then we find out when they get to the top, Paz Vizsla does a Leroy Jenkins and just goes up the nest, and then you find out it's because that's his son, and they're like, wow, didn't know that. Makes sense why he gave Bo-Katan the honor, because Bo-Katan is the one that putting all this together, and like Paz was the one who was like, oh man, this happens all the time. Like, bro, that's your son.
I'm just like thinking, have you lost other kids to this thing? Like,
that's what I'm thinking. That's my thought too. Like, is this not your first one? Like,
it's like his, like, he had four other kids before that. They all got like, And then, like, homie brings this huge Gatling gun everywhere he goes. And I'm just like, bro, that's kind of heavy.
Duh. You go big or you go home, man. All right. I'm with him on that one. But, no, the biggest clue of them being related had to be when, you saw the colors of their armor, right?
Yeah.
The colors of them are very similar. And even in this episode, it was the armorer who said, you know, we pass on some of our Beskar steel to our foundlings. Yeah. And so when the armor matched colors in the past, right, I was like, oh, there's probably something there. In this episode, we finally got to confirm that this is just all part of the culture, but also that he is the son of Paz Vizsla.
That makes sense.
All good stuff.
That makes sense. All right. So here's the weirdest part. They're over there in the nest, and they're like, they see this body, and the body turns out to be three more baby birds. So I'm like, oh shit, where's the kid? And then the bird just comes up and throws them up.
Which is like, that was so weird.
I get it because that's how birds feed their kids. Like, they regurgitate into them. But like, that motherfucker, he was in there for 24 hours. Like, what would he doing?
Yeah, was he though? Like, I don't know. Maybe she just kept him like in a cage or something. Like, I don't know what happened there. Like,
I don't know how long he was in there
for 24 hours.
How long was he in that bird, bro?
Yeah. Like, it went from day to night back to day. So I'm like,
right.
What did that bird do with him?
Is it like a pelican where he just like hangs out in their gull?
Oh my god! Please no! I'll have nightmares of that.
Oh my god! That was wild. All right.
Armies in the comments, like, that kid's been through so much. Beat by Grogu, then kidnapped moments after.
It's a rough day, man.
Yeah, his dad gave up on trying to find him.
Quite literally, he did.
Dad's like, oh, that kid. All right, I'll just make another one. Like, I don't know.
Life goes on.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
Mommy Bo-Katan's back. This works out for everybody.
Hey. All right. So now they have another chase. This time, the bird creature, whatever, grabs the kid in their claw. And they're like, okay, we're going to do this. And they go after him. And they start using all these maneuvers and using their flames and using their grappling hooks. And, like, they finally, you know, basically bring it down. And then, like, Paz gets caught in their mouth. It's a whole thing. It was a great sequence. It was a really, really great sequence. And then you see, like, Bo-Katan and basically Din Djarin being the main people who get to save them. And then the bird falls into the ocean and gets eaten by the crocodile thing where we see it in the first one, right? And I'm like, you know, maybe, like, they could have brought Grogu. Maybe Grogu could have forced, like, you know, negotiated with the pelican bird or whatever gotten the kid back. Who knows? But they didn't do that. What are your thoughts?
Mandalorian trauma is undefeated. That's what Armin's in the comments.
What are your thoughts about that whole sequence? The whole fight sequence and fighting the bird? I thought it was really great. I thought the special effects were really great. I thought the sequence were amazing. Ryan, why don't you go first?
Oh yeah, I mean, let me tie this back to the beginning of the show. Like,
let's go.
So Carl Weathers directed this. So I mean, Apollo Creed himself, and this is the second time. He directed an episode in season two, but like this one, like, really amped it up. Like, he really got to show a lot more action in this. And again, that sequence, like, that was intense. Like, it didn't feel like the CGI was soft or anything like that. Like, You see these zoom out shots zooming in on the different Mandalorians surrounding the like bird creature, and like even Bo-Katan when she fell, yeah, like, oh yeah, that Pokemon, yeah. So it's like, and you just see like Bo-Katan fall, like it, you felt that tension like coming. And again, like just seeing that creature, like that felt like Jurassic World again, where the creature just ate the other creature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It did feel like Jurassic World. You're right. Good point. What about you, Jath? What are your thoughts?
Man, so this sequence was really cool because like some people probably really got freaked out like when they showed all the details of like the baby bird's faces, like something was just disproportionate and like you saw like snot and blood and whatnot. You're like, oh, that's so gross. But like I appreciated it. Like it was so good. Like you felt like it was believable that these are real things. As gross and grotesque as they were. Like, I feel like this was nature being nature here. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm enjoying this. And then when the mama bird was flying and, you know, they were fighting, I loved how, like, when she just, like, flapped her wing, just smacked Bo-Katan down.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, okay. Like, a bird that big would probably have that much force to do that. Like, good job, physics team, whoever did that. So
that was a little bit of a bitch slap to Bo-Katan.
Yeah, but, like, it makes sense. It made perfect sense to me. I'm like, great. This is the new Star Wars. They actually care about the little details. I love it.
What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Oh, man. All right. So they save the kid, and then they go back. And then, I got to say, I don't think something I ever mentioned before, because I just love the armor's voice. Her voice is just so soothing, especially when she goes like, come on, Grogu, or like when she's talking to Bo-Katan. Like something about her voice is so, it's not monotone, but it's so like, I just don't know how to describe it, man. It just makes me feel like everything's going to be okay. It's not like warm and fuzzy, but it's also like direct. I don't know. Something about her voice, I just really like it. Because like, she's not super friendly with Bo-Katan, but she's like, oh, your armor is damaged. Let's go fix it. And like, she does it in like a way that's not like overly friendly, but not like hesitant. Like not, she doesn't like begrudgingly does it. And then when they talk about the mythosaur and they talk about what sigil she wants, like she's like, yeah, you want to do that? She wants to know about the story. She wants to know like, hey, mythosaur belongs to all of us, you can do that, it's your right. She is so like matter of fact about everything, and like it doesn't matter if something is good or bad, it's just like the way it is. And I
she's
just love
matriarch.
Her voice. Yeah, she is. I
she's
really
the matriarch
love her.
Of the coven. Yeah.
So she tells him about the mythosaur. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh man,
Ryan, go ahead.
I mean, it's interesting, like how she responded. Where it's like, oh, you just saw a vision, and she's like, no, I know what I saw, and she's like, well, this is the way, and it was just a weird read on like, do they just kind of blindly follow their way, and there's like. You can say that, but we're just going to keep believing like it doesn't exist. Like until we see it otherwise, like we're just going to, you know, keep believing that the mythosaur is a myth.
Right. And
it's
just got myth in the name.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, like it's just interesting, like, and then how it ends with Bo staring at the mythosaur symbol. And it's like she's planning something, clearly. I don't know what.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's going to bring the Mythosaur over. They're going to bring them to Mandalore, but it's interesting where it ended.
I don't know, but I did want to say that I did notice that Bo is getting more and more comfortable with the armor to tell them that stuff. Like, I didn't think she would tell anybody. I thought she would just keep it to herself. But she feels a level of comfort with the armor to tell the armor that.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz, what are your thoughts?
Like I said, she's a matriarch, right? She's the mom of the group.
Yeah.
And even like, you know, when your kid says something crazy, like... oh, I just saw a UFO. It's like, okay, yeah, you probably did see that, right? But then she's like, and the kid's like, no, it's real. And then like, it's like there's some evidence of it. And then they're like, oh, all right, that's real. I'm sure the government's taking care of it. But in this case, I'm sure the mythosaur is real. We will deal with that when we get there. And so she's like this weird mix of skepticism, but then she also truly just believes everything she's hearing. And she's able to process and make decisions so quickly. I'm like, this woman has experienced a lot in life. And I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later that she has seen the mythosaur or a mythosaur in the past herself. And that's why she'll be like, okay, I guess
so Jazz, Jazz, you bring up a good point, and I want to ask this question. Do we think the Mandalorian society and culture is a matriarchal like culture? Because what I realize is that the armor is like their leader in that situation. But also, they never hate on Bo-Katan for being a woman. They hate on her for the house that she belongs to, but it was never because she was a woman. They never undermined her for that. It was only the house that she belonged to. Even Paz Vizsla was always, whatchamacallit, you know, hesitant about that because of where she came from, not because she's a woman. I wonder if that's really true.
So I know there are other matriarchal societies in Star Wars, and I would not be surprised if the Mandalore is another one of them.
Like, yeah. Or at least a sect.
What were those? The witches.
Crap. Oh, the Night Sisters from...
Yeah. Like, that was a matriarchal society. And so, if they're going to do that in... this was in... I believe it was in Rebels, right?
Yeah.
Which is a bit more recent as opposed to some of the older Star Wars cartoons or shows. Yeah. Then it makes sense that they're going to do it here as well. And then even in, you know, the Clone Wars cartoons, right? It was Duchess Satine who was the leader of Mandalore.
Yeah.
So it's always been matriarchal to some degree.
That's interesting. Also, they're like creative. This is the way, which is a substitute for you're welcome. And we know that women don't get thanked enough in real life. Of course, they would come up with it.
Everything tracks.
Yeah. It all makes sense now. Oh, man.
All right, let's go to the comments real quick. Carlos is saying, her voice in the episode made me finally look up who the actress is. Good Lord, we got to get that helmet off her face. She's gorgeous. This is not the way.
Oh,
my God. Dude, she actually is.
Yeah. Like, oh, I got to look this up.
Oh, you have no idea. What, like?
Oh, man. All right, I know what I'm going to be
it's
doing.
Emily Swallow is her name. She's just really pretty. So,
I got to look that up later. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Then the other thing that I wanted to mention, what is the thing? She says to Bo-Katan that saving a foundling is the highest honor for a Mandalore. That is pretty cool. That is so. She has been here for like 24 hours. She's like helped Grogu fight this match. She saved a kid. She got new armor. She's like the head of the hunting party. Like she is making moves, and she did something that is the highest honor of Mandalore. This is a busy 24 hours for Bo-Katan. She did it all with the headband on, and no one got to see.
Yeah, Bo-Katan and that kid that got kidnapped.
I know.
What a rough day.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is cool.
No, but that's the cool part about Mandalorian society. It's that anyone can do it, right? And I feel like even if it wasn't Bo-Katan, even if it was like some random, you know, protagonist, that just came in and started doing everything, right? Let's be like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
They are very open. Once you take the creed, you're one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I love that. Like, it doesn't matter where you come from, what you've done. Once you're in, you're in. Like, that's really cool. I like that.
I think you just described a gang.
He's got to do this one test, and then you're good.
All we got to do is jump you, and then you got to wear these colors for the rest of your life, and then you're in. Once you're in, you're in.
That's exactly what they're doing, except some colors, it's armor.
Oh, man. All right, and then, yeah, like you said, it was directed by Carl Weathers. He did a great job. Great episode, man. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I hope we get to see another Carl Weathers directed episode. I didn't have a problem with the last episode, but it veered off a little bit. And there is a lot of talk of the ratings dropping, which I thought is interesting. Ryan, do you have any comments on the ratings dropping?
I think this season in particular, like in general, like this whole season has like kind of dropped in comparison to the first two. And you know, I think it's also in terms of subscriptions for Disney Plus dropping, like the lack of content that they were producing. And I don't know if The Mandalorian, like as of like watching it week to week, is like enough for people to kind of resubscribe. I think they're like kind of waiting for it to be done to kind of before they resubscribe. And even some of the talk about this season in particular is like isn't as hyped as the previous seasons were. And I think that's just because there's just so much content coming out in general, like not even just Disney Plus, like Netflix, everything else, where it's like, you know what, we'll just kind of wait and see once it's out, then, you know, I'll tune in.
I think a lot of it does have to do with their contract with India. So basically, what people don't know is that in India, Disney Plus is bundled with Hotstar, which I believe is a cricket app. It's like a sports app. So if you get Disney Plus, you get them both. And once they split them up, all the people who had Disney Plus dropped it because they were really just there for cricket. Disney Plus was just a bonus to them. And cricket is a big deal in India, like huge. So
in
they
all
lost,
the colonies, really.
Yeah, yeah. So they lost like 3 million subscribers or something like that. A lot of it was due to cricket. I think that might have had a little bit to do for the ratings. Who knows? But I still think the content of this season is really good. I think they are going in a different direction from the last episode. But I'm still curious to see where it goes because there is a little bit of cloning, a little bit of like what they're going to do with the baby's blood. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
So I actually like that in this episode, we saw the tip of that mountain again.
Yeah, I saw that too. I noticed
that. And I was like, oh, that's why they had that episode last week. Just for this little, small little cameo here.
Just a tip.
I wasn't going to say it, but okay, you said it. Back to the Star Wars fans and the ratings dropping, right? This is nothing new. This happens every time the Star Wars show. People get bitchy about the dumbest shit. Or they're going to complain like, oh, you know, the past Star Wars is better. And then 10 years down the road, they're going to be like, oh, this is revolutionary. This is the best thing ever. I was at the start and I loved it from the beginning. And no, you didn't. You were bitching about it. But like, that's just what they do. This is what the Star Wars fandom is. And so even though the ratings aren't good now, you know, 5 years from now, it's going to be the top of the charts still. Just watch.
Yeah. Well, either way, this episode to me was Ahmed best.
Nice.
All right, what are your final thoughts before we wrap this episode up, guys? Ryan, let's start with you.
All right. So I mean, we're at the halfway point of this season, mm-hmm. which like is shocking to me. Like I feel like we just started, and I think we're at a point now where things have been set up on the Mandalorian side with like, you know, now they have this like team camaraderie, they have this relationship with each other now. And it feels like they're building up to something with this group, like with seeing them train and even them like doing the rappelling on the mountain. I think they're setting them up for some big moment, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what that'll be. Because we're already halfway through. I think it's time to start setting up the finale already. So I'm interested.
Interesting, Jazz. What about you? What are your thoughts?
For a 30-minute episode, this was a fantastic piece of work. There was just so much content and action jam-packed into it. I didn't even notice it was 30 minutes, right? It could have been like an hour. It could have been an hour and a half. I wouldn't have cared. It was that good. This is peak Star Wars. You know, we're getting into what I believe, you know, is like we're in the crescendo of it. Mm-hmm. And we're about to hit the climax. It's going to be amazing. So I can't wait to see where the show goes.
I'm excited too. And like, I know it's a good episode of Star Wars because as soon as I turn it off, I just look at myself and go, God, I love Star Wars. I just see it to myself.
Exactly.
There's nobody around. I was like, I'm in my basement at 3 o'clock in the morning and I just turn off and I'm just like, God, I love Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. I love what Carlos said in the comments. Star Wars is like SNL. Everybody always thinks it was better 10 years ago.
Fair. Ha-ha. All right. Mm-hmm. Ryan, before we go, let people know where they can find you so they can hit you up.
Oh, okay. So I am Ryan_Reflex on all socials like Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd. Make sure to put that underscore because if you don't, you're going to find an optometrist. So make sure to put that underscore in between Ryan and Reflex.
What happened? I didn't put Reflex. I put Ryan Flex, like you flex. And I got this bodybuilder. And I was like, damn, Ryan looks like he might have a sleeper body. Like it might just be totally ripped.
I'm just hiding under this. You know, this is a big shirt, actually.
I was like, he's like the Hulk. He just like flexes and he just becomes huge. And I'm just like, Ryan Flex, huh? Oh, no, it's Ryan Reflex.
But yeah, and you can find like all the content I share on the Agents of Fandom page, Agents of Fandom on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, on Twitter, we're Agents Fandom. So, and you can find us on the agentsoffandom.com for all reviews, news breakdowns, theories, everything like that.
You know what we gotta do, man? We gotta do like a bingo card of all the Agents of Fandom, like,
oh my god,
contributors, man. And like have like randomized, and then see who gets to bingo first.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so gonna do that. I'm gonna have every single one of them on, and we're just gonna become a sister channel to them. That's really all it is.
Yeah, let's do it.
That'll be so funny. Oh man, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for joining, and everybody on the podcast, everybody joining us, remember to like, share, comment, subscribe, leave a good review, because it's Ramadan, and do it for your friendly neighborhood Muslims. Until next time, guys. Salam, nerds.
Peace.
Bye.